Maybe what I did seems wasteful, even crazy, pouring expensive perfume to anoint a man who is not yet dead. But in the moment, the words of God came to me, the ones that come to us from the prophet Isaiah, and it just sang in my heart. I am about to do a new thing. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Let me explain, if I can. First of all, yes, I am Mary of Bethany. And Bethany is a village that's not far from this great city of Jerusalem. And yes, Martha and I are the sisters of Lazarus, the very one whom Jesus of Nazareth raised from the dead. Of course, even you who are pilgrims to Jerusalem have heard this amazing story. And I and the others who were there can tell you that it is true. But there is one thing that I must warn you. We have to be very careful about how we talk about this, because the religious authorities are plotting against Jesus. They want to kill Jesus and my brother Lazarus too, because the things that Jesus has done reveal that he is the Christ. He is the bearer of God's justice and freedom and life. Now, there's something else you have to understand too. Raising Lazarus from the grave is the most recent of many, many wondrous signs that Jesus has done for, oh, what has it been, 3 years now? You remember, maybe you've heard of this, that there was a wedding in Cana where Jesus turned water into gallons and gallons of the finest wine. And then there was the time in the desert, oh yes, this was amazing, where he fed 5,000 people with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Oh, and Jesus has healed people. He's made the blind to see. Oh, and speaking of sea, there was that time that he walked across the waves in an incredible storm. These miraculous deeds of power can only come from the power of God, a revelation of God's desire to recreate for us lives of celebration and wholeness. But I have to tell you, Jesus has performed some quieter miracles too. For example, once he discussed theology at length with a Samaritan woman at a well. It's true, the 12 told us. Jesus conversed with this enemy as though she were one of us. And then there was a time where Jesus refused to condemn a woman who was caught in adultery. Jesus never stopped talking about and offering God's love. Never. And so these quiet and yet equally powerful miracles are also signs to us that God desires for us to live in mercy and peace. And for this, our religious establishment threatens to kill Jesus and plots against him. Now I ask you, why would people want to silence Jesus? Why? Don't we marvel at what Jesus teaches, that God's love is even for the least and the last and the lost? Well, maybe when we have power over other people, that's a message that we don't want to be heard. But don't we marvel at what Jesus does? He heals and he feeds and he even mends broken hearts and relationships. But maybe when we feed on our own pain, we forget what wholeness feels like. And we can no longer imagine it, not for ourselves and not for other people. But aren't we in awe of who Jesus is? He is the very heart of God, and yet He is our own companion and friend. Who has known such a friend? Who has known such a friend? And yet I have. We who follow Jesus have. And so I will tell you now what happened a couple of nights ago before we came to Jerusalem to prepare for the Passover. Well, Jesus and the 12 had left Bethany after Jesus raised Lazarus because, of course, the religious authorities were plotting against him. It was too dangerous for him to stay. And so as Passover approached, we never dreamed that he would come back to Jerusalem. And then we heard a knock on our door, and we opened it, and there Jesus was. There Jesus was. He had come back. I felt as though the door to my own heart had opened wider because Jesus had come back. In that moment, I understood how completely he loves us, because I understood that by coming back, he was now going to die for us. Jesus came into a world that desperately needs healing and yet rejects it every time it is lavished on us. Even so, everything Jesus has done, every word, every action, every prayer has been for us. It's all been to show us, to open our eyes to the truth that God's way is the way of life. Jesus said, and I cannot comprehend why, but he says he will be killed, and in 3 days he will be raised again, because he says nothing in the universe can kill God's love. Nothing in the universe can destroy the love that God has for us. Can that be true? Can God love us so extravagantly? So that night, I found myself unwrapping my large and precious jar of nard. I remembered that God had freed the people from slavery in Egypt by making a dry path through the wet sea. And then, by the prophet Isaiah foretelling, in the same way, God freed the people from slavery again in Babylon by making a wet path through the dry desert. God was doing a new thing. I will make a way through the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I am about to do a new thing. So I broke the seal on the jar, and I poured that precious oil all over Jesus' feet. And the scent filled the entire house. And then I took my headscarf off, and I wiped Jesus' feet with my hair. What possessed me? What possessed me? Only the gratitude that Jesus would die for me, for us. And the hope that God was doing a new thing. Jesus looked at me with gratitude and with grief, with hope and with fear. But mostly what I remember is he looked at me with such forgiveness, such love. It's true that I could have sold my perfume and given the money to the poor, as Judas Iscariot said that I should have. But you know, to the powers of this world, Jesus is the least, the last, and the lost. And Jesus has shown us that extravagant love is meant to be lavished on these. So here we are in Jerusalem. Jesus will be here soon. It isn't safe for Jesus to be here, or for us. Maybe we're all crazy. Or maybe we're seeing clearly. God is about to do a new thing, and we will be part of it. One way or another, we, all of us, will be part of it.